Hi everyone. I don't know whether you guys know much about Tavis's story from our town Ipswich, but today you're going to know everything. Today I have the privilege, or we have the privilege, of Tavis's mum telling her story exactly the same way as I did mine. It's raw, it's painful, and it's going to be tough for her, but she's here to do this and to bear all, to raise awareness for you guys to stop doing what you're doing and causing the devastation that you're causing to families and yourselves. It's something that you all need to pay attention to, because this is real. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good.
Yeah. I've been with you through this journey from the beginning. Yeah. We've both suffered the same kind of way. Mm. Tell us a little bit about Tavis from the start.
From birth. Well, I had IVF to have Tav and Ty,
and that's right, because Tav's a twin, isn't
it? Yeah, they're twins. Yeah, I had IVF to have the boys. You know, I was told by a doctor that I wouldn't have kids naturally, or maybe not at all. So obviously, when we went through that process, and then the boys came, it was amazing. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, unfortunately I ended up a single mum with the boys, but that's okay. But they were a joy in my life, always have been. And because I ended up a single mum, it just made me stronger, to be fair, and raised the boys in the right way. I had a lot of support from my family as well, which is, you know, important. But yeah, just... good boys, lovely, lovely kids, you know, just the apple of my eye, both of them, always have been. Tavis is at the two, Tyler's the real quiet one, yeah. Real quiet.
I was going to ask you, was there much difference between the two when they were growing up?
Like,
it was Tav from birth the one that cried out and kicked out more, or was it the other one that was a little bit more like that? Tav was more quiet, you know.
Tav, I always say to people, Tav was the one that was in your face all the time. He weren't shy, he didn't care. Tyler's always the quiet one, you know. And good boys. I raised them the right way. I tried my hardest to raise them the right way. They've always seen me go to work, even as a single mum. And then when I met my husband, Mike, 10 years ago, he then came into their life and helped me raise them.
From young, seeing their mum, their queen, the woman that they look up to, doing the things that a mother does, especially on top of being a mum, going to work, they're brought into the world already knowing the direction to travel is in a positive way.
Yeah.
When for you did the change happen, when you started seeing a change dramatically from being Tav, being the young in your face kid that was messing around, to the Tavis that ended up being in the position he got himself into, not on his own accord, just in general? Like, where was the transition? Did you see the change, or was it, like I say in a lot of my stories, you don't realise until it affects you in the worst way. You open your eyes up and think, oh my God, I could have, I would have, I should have. Mm. But you can't kick yourself like that, because we've done the same with my brother.
Yeah.
If I was there, if I was here, if I'd done this, if I'd done that, if I never said that before, you know, I could have been there. It's out of our hands. But when was it that you noticed a change from the boys separating within their personalities? I know you said from young Tav was very wild and Ty was a lot more quiet. When did they become, because they're twins, right? They're both like they're from the same, you know. When did you see a difference in the boys?
With Tavis, it was when he was about 14. He sort of started to change, and you know, things like he was not, he knew he had to be in by, you know, he's got school the next day. He knew he had to be in by 10. He's 14. Had to be in by 10. I know he's like round the corner with his friends and stuff like that.
10's a good time. My mum used to get me in at 7. Like.
See? I know. So it's that sort of conflict of trying to, he's 14 now, so, you know, becoming 15. Don't want to you know, trap him too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you mean, because when I was coming in at 7 o'clock, I used to hate it because like all my friends would definitely look at me different. And,
yeah.
And the fact that you allowed and you trusted him to be in at that kind of time is absolutely amazing. The relationship that you had with your son.
Yeah.
That and that understanding that you two had together is good.
So it sort of started from there, and he started taking the piss and coming in later and later and later. And it'd be like 12 o'clock in the evening, and I'm calling around, where are you? You know, and so it sort of started to change like that. And then from that sort of age, 14, 15, it just sort of became more, it started becoming really disrespectful, you know, think you can do what you want, talk to me and Mike how he wanted, and it just got really, really bad. And it sort of ended up with that. I mean, Tavis and Tyler's dad, I'll be honest and truthful, he didn't really have anything, he didn't put the time in for them boys, let's put it that way. Yeah. And I remember taking Tavis to, I was in my dressing gown and everything. I was just so, and my wit said I was going to work. I was crying. I was stressed out. And I'm like, do you know what I mean? I took him out one evening, ran to his dad's door, and I said, you better do something with this boy. Yeah? Because I just can't take this anymore. This is your son too. You've not really stepped up and done a lot for his life. This is your time now to step up and do something for your son. He did take him in, you know, eventually he did take him in, but then I just thought that was his downfall, because then he was right in the center of where all these people were, that had influence on him. And it just sort of got worse from there. I'm not blaming his dad for any of that, because his dad did try to keep him on the right path. He really did. And I'm not, but it's that whole area of where they, you know, where the he hub. Was living. The hub.
Yeah.
Literally the hub, yeah.
And when you're in the heart of it, you're kind of, I guess, you're led a lot easier into not being groomed, but you're just there. It's, once you're there, it's is a way of life. It's not like I'm gonna pop over, like you walk out of your door and it is directly there. So you say that a change started. What was it that you feel like, what made him start changing? Was it the fact that you felt like he could take the piss out of you a little bit and just do what he wanted to do? Or do you feel like it was people that was helping him create this new version of your son?
Yeah, probably that. It's so he obviously was getting mixed up with the wrong people. Even at that point, I didn't realise what he was involved in, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I thought he was just a teenager going through his shit, as they do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
We've all been there. Like, your of generation, course. My generation, like, we grew up and, like, you had your elders and stuff. But the elders now are young kids. This is the next generation. These young kids are young men now. And they act and they talk and they behave the same, exactly the same as the men were when we were younger.
Yeah.
So I think the younger generation are definitely becoming more older in their head,
which
allows them to push the boundaries of an adult when they're still, you know, they're still actively a child.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. So when I just, like, at the time when he was playing up, shall we say, and given all this stress and stuff, didn't really understand what was going on behind the scenes, because I'm mum, I'm going to work, I'm cooking dinner, I'm cleaning the house. So I expect you to be in on time when I tell you to come in.
Rules are rules, right?
Just want you give me respect. I'm your mother at the end of the day. And even your stepfather stepped up for you and stuff, you know? But it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. Like I said, I was in my bedroom one night, and I put him in the car, and I said, well, I can't remember if he might not have even been with me, but I know I knocked on the father's door, and I said, listen, you better help me with this boy, because I don't know what else to do. And like I said, he did step up, you know, but unfortunately,
that was already set in his ways.
It was set, and he was, like, fully in the heart of all of that now. And it just made it easier for them people to get their claws into him, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know what it is, when you think like a man, and this is from my own experience, from me, like again, my mum brought us up, my dad wasn't around, and even if my mum did pass us on to my dad, he still would have done nothing. Whereas Tav's dad, you said he stepped up and he'd done his thing, which is, you know, hats off to him in that aspect. But once you've already set it within the path that you're traveling, even the most powerful man in your life, dad, the most powerful woman in your life, mum, them are the kings and queens, right? Mm. Supposedly.
Yeah, it should be.
And that should always be like that, because if you can disrespect your mum, you can disrespect your woman. It's the same with your dad, you know, like, and like when it comes to things like that, Tab sounds like he was already on his journey to become the person he thought that he wanted to be, not realizing that when he gets deep, that he actually just wanted to just be away from it. And at that time, the more that yous were being parents, I guess, was pushing him further away. And from that, yous probably found yourselves, your heads banged together, thinking, what are we going to do?
Just clashing all the time. And I say to Tavis, look, come on, what is this? Like, and he'd say to me, Mum, you don't understand. I can't just get out of it like that.
Get out of what?
The life that he was living. Mm-hmm. He said, it don't work like that. I said, what do you mean it don't work? Tell me who these people are. I'll go to them. Tell me. He's like, Mum, no, it don't work like that, Mum. You don't just get out of this like that. And that's my child. And I think, who are these people? Mm-hmm. With a chain around his neck like that. That's my kid.
To have that much influence on a child.
I know, making him do things that he shouldn't have been doing, you know? And the thing is, it's not like he had to live that lifestyle, like, you know, a lot of these kids, they do it for extra dollar and they want money and they want this. Davis didn't even have that. He didn't need to do that. He has had everything that he's ever wanted from birth. Like, them boys have been spoiled, you know? Still are. You know, but and that's another thing I couldn't get my head around, is that why are you doing this? This can't be for money, because you know, if you need money, then come to me for money. You know, come to any of your family member for money. You know, it's just cruel. It's just really, really cruel.
So what made you think that he was doing it for what reason? Did you feel like, or did he give you a reason as why he was doing it? Do you think it was because he is now in the hub, which made it even worse? Because if he's living there and he's trying to get out of what he's getting, and when he walks out of his door, he no longer has that protection. Mm. He then becomes the opposite to what he was. So staying in it on where he is and who he surrounds himself with is kind of a given, isn't it? Like to stay within it.
It's probably recognition as well, like. They want that recognition on the street. They want, you know, when they're battling one side of town and he's from this one side of town and then there's others from another side of town, and it's, you know, it's about...
Gang affiliation.
And, you know. But for him to lose his life over a postcode is just so pathetic. I just... Nah. Totally wrong.
Yeah, I speak to a lot of the boys on the streets that have a serious talent when it comes to music and the eye for fashion and stuff like that. And these boys could seriously make a difference within other, like, role model wise, in a more positive, effective way. It is a shame that they do come to a point where all they want to do is the recognition side of it in a negative way. And that's really a shame, because there's some talented boys out there and girls that are amongst the crews as well. That is running through. We've noticed that with the charity work we do, that there is a lot more girls being initiated, and that is crazy. If my daughter was ever like that, I don't know what I would do, you know. And that is sad. But Tavis did want to make a change within his life, didn't he?
He did. you know, the months leading up to his death, he was turning it around, and he just realised he just didn't want this life anymore. He just, you know, not whatever normal is, he didn't want to be involved in this anymore. He was trying to make progress. I mean, the day that he was murdered, and the whole situation with what happened in town, I mean, he wasn't even there. He wasn't even involved in any of that ruckus in town.
Yeah.
And for them to come to the area that he live in and then do that to him, they know damn well he wasn't even in town or involved in none of that. I know there was music videos that had been put out there back in the day, but he was younger then. He was young then. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't even get the chance to grow up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. As much as he thought he was a man, he still wasn't grown, a minute ago.
Yeah, he wasn't grown in his head yet. He wasn't there, and that's the cruel thing, because that's been taken from him. He didn't even have a chance to fully change and turn it around.
The statistics that they say out there for people, say, growing up or changing, they say if you don't catch someone before they're 25, they're gone for life.
Yeah.
And I don't know so much about that, because I was in my late 20s before. I mean, I'm 38 now. My brother was murdered 4 years ago. And it was only 4 years ago I really started, just 4 or 5 years ago, because we're coming up now, it's like the half century. Well, not half century, but half the years through.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until then that I realised. So I think that the whole system of letting these 25 ups down, they're letting them down, because as soon as you hit 25... they stop getting the help.
Yeah.
And they stop, which means all you've got then is to carry on.
Yeah.
And that leads you to where it is, like drug habits and stuff like that. Like my brother was, you know, heavy into drugs, and I tried to give the opportunities, but I feel like because he was failed so much in the past, his future was still going to be failed in his head, you know. And, you know, Tav's never even managed to make it to the point where that 25 even exists, or whether he's going to change or whether he's going to.
Yeah.
What was it that you felt like the change for Tavis, for him wanting to get out of the lifestyle? What was it that did he come to you and just be like, just say to you, I've had enough, what can I do? Or was he just like, I'm trying to get out? Because I know that the newspapers hit it heavy after Tavis's death, and saying that he wanted to get out of the lifestyle, and then there was proof there that he wanted to get out of the lifestyle from emails that he'd contacted people saying, how do you get out of the lifestyle, you know? And that already is a productive effort from Tavis to show that he wanted to get away from it all.
Yeah.
And the incident you're talking about, what happened in town, that was other members of the gang that he was involved with, right?
Yeah.
That caused friction in the town centre.
Yeah.
And then the opposing gang went to the estate where Tavis and his gang is from, and they just picked the first person to teach a lesson, and it happened to have been
Tavis.
Take us to that day. Where did you get the phone call? Did they just turn up to your door, the police? Like,
no, what happened was, me and my husband, because we love our garden and stuff, we just love our garden, and we were pottering around in the garden. Ty was at home as well, and I'd just literally just been talking to my sister on the phone about Jamaica, because we were planning next to take the boys for their 18th birthday next year. And I'd just literally put the phone down to my sister, because she was going to come with us, obviously. So we were talking about that, blah, blah, blah. And 5 minutes later, that she rang me back and she said, "Sis, Tav's been stabbed." And I just screamed. And she obviously said where it was, which was outside his dad's house. And we obviously just flew down there. And when I got there was just this massive crowd of people. I've just never seen so many people in my life. So I got there, and Tav, obviously they were working on him on the you know, they were giving him help on the floor. Yeah. And when I got there, I said, "Tav, I'm here." I'm here, Mum's here. And he lifted his head. He lifted his head to look for me. And then the police, because I was in shock, I don't know, the police, they wouldn't let me near him. I was just losing my shit. I was going ballistic. So I had this police officer pinning me down on the floor. And then my sister got there and I said, sis, you've got to go to him. Go to him, make sure that someone's there, because the police, they wouldn't let me go. And, yeah, so he was there and we were all there, everyone was there. They gave him open heart surgery there on the street. And they held a curtain up. They'd moved him over to the other side of the air ambulance came, and they were holding a curtain up. And by this time, the police officer had let me go. So I walked over and looked behind the curtain. I wish I'd never done that, because I saw my son's heart in the paramedic's hand, and they were trying to massage his heart to save his life. Then obviously that was that, and then they took him to hospital, and as far as I'm aware, his heart stopped a couple of times on the way to the hospital. And then we were all at the hospital, and he was born on the 2nd, and the day he passed was the 2nd, and I just had this awful dread. And I caught one of the doctors in the hallway and I said, look, I want to see my son. I need to see him now. You need to let me see him. And they said, right, can you just give us 10 minutes, you know? Just give us 10 minutes. There's a lot of blood up there, and, you know. And I said, okay. And I said, and he told me, the doctor told me he was on life support. And I said, oh, Jesus, thank God. He's going to pull through this, you know. And 10 minutes later, the doctor came down to the family room at the hospital and he asked me to sit down, and I screamed in his face and I said, no. I said, I knew my son was gone. And I said, is my son gone? And that's when he said, I'm so sorry, Mrs. Box. Some of my friends said they could hear me screaming from, they were outside the hospital, outside the doors. I was inside, they said they could hear me screaming. And not to be able to say goodbye to my son and hold his hand while he's passing, let him know how much I love him. He died with complete strangers around him, you know, and that is... them fuckers, what they've done, yeah, they don't understand what Tavis was loved. Tavis is still loved. And to take his life like that for nothing... Nah.
I when you say that Tavis died with complete strangers, I that was one of the things that I that hurt me the most with my brother, is like when you pass, you expect to pass with people around you know
to your loved ones.
Yeah, and to die amongst strangers is something that will live with me and you forevermore. Yeah. And I don't think the people that commit these crimes are fully aware that the shoes that they walk in or think that they're walking in is for big boys or however it is, that they could also be dead in a stranger's arms and not realise that, like, you understand my pain as I understand yours.
Yeah.
And that whole didn't even get a chance to say goodbye.
Yeah.
It's so hard because... we spend so much of our life trying to teach others, friends, family, neighbours, anything to move forward in life, that we don't realise that if we've done something like said a bad word, like, oh, get out of my face, you're pissing me off or something like that, I don't think it resonates in your head until it happens to you that that's your last word that you could say.
Yeah.
I mean, me and my brother had an argument before, about a week and a half before it happened, and I could never take that back. Mm. And that was my last words, you
know.
And not being able to say goodbye is always tough. So I'll spend the rest of my life letting balloons off and putting flowers on a lamppost, you know. And that's another thing, like people, you know, that walk past on a daily basis don't realise that the person they've walked past or they're walking beside is in so much pain, they just neglect it. And all you really need is just, you know, I understand. You're not the only one going through it, and it, this pain we have to live with forever. How did the next steps after finding out that Tavis you've now been told that Tavis is gone. How did?
I wanted to see him at the hospital with the police. His body's evidence now, so I couldn't even see him. Not that night, anyway. I can't remember if it was the next day or the day after that I could go to the mortuary at the hospital and see him. I can't remember if it was the next day or maybe the day after, because the police said obviously his body's evidence and they have to collect that evidence from him and stuff, you know, which I didn't get at the time, but obviously I'll get it now. And yeah.
I mean, the what you're describing, what happened, really did lay down effect for not just yourselves, but the community really stood up and helped raise the awareness. I see
they did,
within the tree outside was completely covered in flowers.
Yeah.
I see boards up all over the place. We've got bands. I've still got Tav's band up on the TV there.
Lovely.
And he will always be with us no matter what, you know, because we'll keep him alive.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was so traumatic, the event that happened that day, that not only did it affect you, but the police officers that were involved in trying to save Tav's life.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the police officers that was there on the scene, he actually got put into a mental institution because he couldn't cope with what he'd seen and stuff in there, and now is retired from the police force.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show the how much everyone really put their all in that day to save him.
Yeah,
Tav.
I know.
And how much it affected everyone from then on. So if a fully fledged police officer found himself in an institution and had to retire from the job because of it, I can only imagine how you guys must have felt from that point onwards.
Yeah.
Of when you say, when I went around the curtain and then I saw him, you wish you didn't see him. I can be there with you and say, I don't know how I would have coped with this situation. I mean, we've become friends along the way now because of our direct contact with what's happened between the pair of us, and forever I'll be there